I know it's probably not a surprise for you, but none of us were raised to be followers. My parents taught my three siblings and me from a young age that we were to excel in whatever we did. We were to try and be the best, lead our peers, whether it be sports, music, academics, or just the jobs we had. We were raised to be competitors. The last thing we were to be was a follower or a part of the crowd. And it wasn't ever anything that was said explicitly. It just was the way things were. Take, for example, the 1 mile run or race that we would participate in each summer when we were kids. We weren't that family that just showed up to the event. No, we trained as 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. We were not going to be walking any of that mile. We would get a ribbon, which meant we would be finishing in the top 10. A few weeks before the event, my dad would sit on the front stoop with his watch and time us as we ran around the block. For the first couple days, we'd just run one, and then we'd build it up and we'd run two. We were raised to be leaders, to finish at the top of the pack and not be part of the crowd. I don't know that my experience is all that unusual. Now, whether we make it to the top, that's another question. But we're all raised to be the best. I think that's what many of us are taught, to win, to lead. Yet here in the community of faith, we are taught other priorities, illustrated in our story for today. We are the sheep, right? We are followers. We are not the leader. We follow the shepherd whose voice we know. We don't determine our path or our way. God, Jesus, the good shepherd, does. And our society, right, makes fun of those who aren't at the front of the line, those who are picked last. We're socialized to be leaders. I mean, colleges have leadership programs. Do we have follower programs? No, we don't. And all of us then, ironically, are supposed to be leaders. Go to any bookstore, or more likely, you'll go to Amazon, and I bet you'll find lots and lots of books on leadership, but not many, if any, on following. And I actually looked this up yesterday, and I think there was one book on how to be a good follower on Amazon. I mean, it doesn't exist, right? We are taught to remember the leaders of great movements and hope that perhaps our kids might be those leaders someday. I think the youth among us actually know it best how hard it is to try and be a follower better than any of us. Growing up, right, in a culture where at a young age, you are taught to be the best, whether it's skills on the soccer field, on the stage, or top scores on your ACT. The pressure, their parents, and community is often overwhelming. We are supported in what we do rather than who we are. Yet in reality, only a few ever get to be the leaders. And that's the real nature of leadership. There aren't very many. I think most of us may be followers most of the time, actually. Now, don't get me wrong, right? We all have leadership roles at different parts of our lives. We might lead our family. We might have leadership or managerial responsibilities at work, those who supervise. Many of you may be leaders on boards and volunteer parts of the community. So at best, we're kind of a mix, right? We may exude some leadership qualities and tasks, but predominantly, we follow. And as much as we are surrounded with the pressures, right, to break out, to have the power to lead, we can't be that most of the time. We follow. Here in the community of faith, we are all followers. In some respect, it's liberating. Because when you walk through that door, We get to leave behind the pressures of fighting to be in charge and the responsibilities that ensues. To follow Jesus in our setting is the very different than how we are told to operate out in the world. It's finally okay to just be the follower, my friends, to be one of the crowd, to be loved simply for who you are, to work together in community where service and love and compassion are of top priority. What freedom this could actually be. You are enough as you are. There is no more need of you than just to follow Christ. No awards, no salary level or size of a house or whatever else is brought in to compare one another these days. To be a follower is enough. That is all God asks of us. We are followers of Jesus Christ, the one who did the impossible, right, by saving and redeeming the world. The one who is the gate, the one who protects and leads us into abundant life. The shepherd cares, is with us in all times and in all places. All that is asked of us is that we follow. Some outside of our tradition see this following as quite weird or naive, or perhaps maybe a crutch that you need to have in your life, this religion stuff, simply because, well, you can't do it on your own. Yet because our priorities are not simply to be the best, but to be together and caring for each other and trying to find out how to best serve the one who leads us. In John's Gospel, we often find in a multitude of places Jesus trying to explain to the religious leaders who he is, right? He uses the metaphors, which I'm sure you're familiar of, throughout the Gospels called the I am saying. I am the way, I am the vine. Here, Jesus says, I am the gate, and at the end, I am the good shepherd. So it is not only Jesus the shepherd who leads us to life in the pasture. Jesus is also the gate that protects us, invites others to join our flock while keeping thieves and bandits out. Being a follower of Jesus takes the pressure off. Jesus' leadership subverts the leadership that we've been taught. Instead of taking the trophy and the prize, Jesus is the shepherd that lays down his life to keep us safe and to be able to pursue life abundant. Jesus is the leader that risks his own life. Now, historically, if you do a little itty-bitty Google search, you'll find that shepherding back in the day was actually ridiculously dangerous. It was risky and often quite boring. These shepherds weren't meek and mild, the picture we often get painted, especially in Luke 2, right, at the birth of Jesus. But they were rough around the edges. They didn't exactly fit in with the religious elite. So Jesus, comparing himself to this shepherd, was probably a little bit more shocking to them than it is to us who live in a world without literal shepherds anymore. So why would we want to follow this leader? Shepherds are intimately involved with their sheep. They can't leave them. They stay with them, watching over them day and night. The text says that the shepherd protects, is devoted, and never deserts us. The shepherd won't let the thief or the bandit in. He isn't a temporary hired hand sent to help us out for a while. The shepherd is forever our guide, providing for all of our needs. In other words, this is a leader unlike we've ever known. And so here we are, a bunch of followers, a bunch of sheep. Now we're taught, right, that sheep can be dumb, and we could be, because our shepherd really doesn't require anything of us, right, except that we follow. We could just claim the ignorance and live our lives going through the motions, always just being a part of the flock. But I don't think that sheep are really that dumb. To follow isn't exactly a piece of cake, is it? It takes skillfulness and practice to navigate how to be a part of a flock. Faithful followers, or flocks, help the leaders by the power that we establish by gathering together. Us coming together, following together, and loving one another together. This is how the world knows of the Good Shepherd. This is how the world knows that we follow a great leader. We are a people, a flock that follows Jesus. This is a flock that operates with freedom and hope and promise. We aren't taught this way out in the world. The world we live in most of the time operates on individualism, of climbing to the top, of putting others down to get there, and of being the best at everything, of gaining power. The world is under no obligation, though, to operate the way we do, with grace and compassion and sacrifice and praise. But we are. That is our call, to listen, to hear God's voice, to allow ourselves to be restored in the pastures, to rest beside the still waters of love, and to not fear because our shepherd is with us in all times and in all places. May we be encouraged this day to see that we are enough, that you are enough as you sit in the pews this morning. And that as you leave them and enter into a dark, despairing world, may we share the gifts of following the Good Shepherd who has the power to restore the world's soul. Jesus invites us to follow, to love, and to serve. May we all find the courage to live into our calling as Christ's flock. Amen.